All right. So we have a gospel reading today, and you can find it in your pew Bibles or on or up above on the screen. And it comes from Mark, the 13th chapter. And Jesus is coming out of the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." And Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? What will be the sign that all these things are to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines there in various places. There will be earthquakes in various places. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs." Yikes. What a gospel reading on the day we want to have a capital campaign vote, huh, to improve our building. Well, that's what's happening here. As you heard, the context for this message was Jesus speaking about the temple in Jerusalem, sitting across the way on the Mount of Olives with his disciples. This beautiful temple built by King Herod, really more for his glory than the glory of God, of course, but it was the holy place of God's people, as you see it up here. It was an incredible monument to the glory of God, and it was the spiritual center of their lives. Awe-inspiring, amazing building, including to Jesus, who you remember at age 12 came to the temple, and he said, "Don't you know I must be in my Father's house?" Right? That's what he was talking about, this building. And then, again, at age 33, when he came back into the temple and kicked the money changers out of the temple and said, "This is my Father's house, a house of prayer." Remember that? It was a holy place for God's people. But what Jesus said did literally happen when AD 70 came around. I'm having a hard time with this. Let's see here. Oh, okay. Well, I need some help from up there, you guys. So, it happened in AD 70. Thanks. AD 70. The temple was torn down by the Roman government, so that is what it looks like now. See? If you go to visit in Jerusalem, how devastating to the people of Israel who witnessed it happening, huh? When the Romans tore this down. You can imagine it felt like the end of the world for them. Just as for many people, the devastating destruction of France this week and in Lebanon this week, this past week, the wars and rumors of wars in other places, and where it seems like now we have wars that are like viruses within all nations, right? A global war, not just nation against nation, but this whole complex thing of terrorism showing up in all sorts of places. Pretty scary. That's indeed the stuff Jesus was talking about here. About the and it's kind of like the movies like Apocalypse Now, right? And stuff like, there's a movie called The Rapture also, by the way. And just so you know, rapture is not a term that's used in the Bible. Or Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. How many of you have seen that movie? Yeah, okay, you got it. Even Hunger Games and the Harry Potter series, right? The Matrix, that's one of my favorites. Oh, and Lord of the Rings. All are about this kind of apocalyptic, the end of things, the crisis of all things falling apart. And did you know that the first apocalyptic, that means the revealing of things, that's what apocalypse means, that the first apocalyptic disaster movie was in 1916, 100 years ago, and it was called The End of the World, in the midst of the fears of World War I. Well, the men's Bible study yesterday was talking about this. They focused on one subject. They were wondering whether there could ever be peace on earth, given our sinful human condition. And that in some ways, even as we pray for peace, in every worship service practically, the only transformation that can happen must be in the human heart, as We bring people to be transformed by the love of God and Jesus Christ in the midst of the sinfulness that continues in our world and even in ourselves, huh? Well, in the midst of the situation of the world in Jesus' time, the disciples sat there with Jesus across from the temple, and they asked him when the end was going to come. And he replied, you know, there's always going to be wars and rumors of wars, conflicts everywhere, but these, as bad as they may seem, are not the end. Don't fall for that kind of baloney. Only God knows when the end will be. And then he says something rather surprising. Contrary to the world's end predictors in Jesus' time and our time, he says, you know what these devastating things going on are? They're but the beginning of the birth pangs. They're labor contractions for the new heaven and new earth. Interesting. And that's true, you know, even in the church, when we realize all the things we thought were settled and sure and are not so settled and sure. While you were in the celebrating All Saints Day on November 1st, here I was at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Milwaukee, where I served as a pastor back in the 80s for 10 years, an inner city church. And it was devastating for me that weekend, as well as for the people. I cried almost all weekend preparing that last sermon for their last worship service. And there are lots of memories shared, like this this next one. Incredible success in their mission ministry and mission over the years. This is a picture of Emmanuel in its heyday in 1948. And here it is as we said goodbye a couple weeks ago. That's a beautiful place, a holy place for me. It's like the temple in Jerusalem, one of those holy places in your life. And in the 80s, there was a lot of exciting ministry going on. Children's sermons, for instance, like this. Scads of kids would come, and it brought people from the neighborhood, that just a little thing like that. There were Vietnamese families that we sponsored, refugee families, and resettled in Milwaukee. Several of them, Emmanuel did. And here we are rehabbing an apartment so they can live there. Believe it or not, that's me in the background with hair. How do you like that? The men's ministry, by the way, took all these initiatives. They were so mission-minded. And then there was this Emmanuel Lutheran Church Women's Board of Directors. They did a lot for global ministries. They also were the conscience of that congregation. And as a result of them, we were the biggest supporters of the Southside Food Bank. That was pretty cool. That was our reputation. And global missions that they supported. They just insisted that our church do that stuff. Can you see Emily in this picture? She's there. She's in the upper left. We've all changed a little bit, you know. So, but what? Yeah, she does, doesn't she? That's true. Well, anyway, back to the next one. You know, all of this has come to an end. If we go back to 4, guys. Sorry, this isn't working for us. Yeah, this has come to an end. This place that we just said goodbye to. And why? Because something new is breaking out of the crust of the old. Labor contractions, if you will, for a new birth, right? So this building has been sold now. It's still going to be a church, thank goodness. A Latino congregation is going to be there, serving the new neighbors in that community. That's a good thing. But why couldn't Emmanuel make that transition to the new people in their neighborhood? Well, bless their hearts, as much as they tried, and they were welcoming and warm people. The bottom line was, come learn to make lutefisk and lefse with us, and you'll fit right in. Hear that? Yeah. And this, I want to make this clear, you guys. You got to pay attention to this. This is always the danger in the church, that we have to confess that sometimes we hold some of the things God has given us way too closely. We do. And then when we're hanging on to stuff, we cannot be open for the new thing God's doing. You see the difference in gesture there? From this, hanging on, to this. You see that? And it's hard for us sometimes to let go and change with the times. In what was once that Norwegian neighborhood where Emmanuel is, something new was called for. So Emmanuel doesn't exist anymore after its 124 years because they were part of the birth pangs of that community, right? That's where they are. And they'd fulfilled God's purpose for a good long time, but now something new is being birthed. And that's how it's always been. Through 2,000 years of church history, new ways to communicate the game-changing, life-changing power of Jesus Christ to help it break out of the crust of the old. Do you realize that none of the congregations talked about in the New Testament even exist anymore? That church in Jerusalem, where they experienced the power of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, that congregation doesn't exist anymore. The churches in Corinth, where Paul wrote to them to keep trying to get them back in shape when they were getting off track, gone. The church in Ephesus, that was so alive and thriving and full of grace and goodness, it's dead. If you go to Ephesus now, all that you can find is maybe a baptistry in the ground where they used to baptize people. That's it. And why? Because like Emmanuel, these congregations, all of them, had fulfilled God's purpose for proclaiming the gospel of Christ in their time and place. And it was time for something new. The beginning of the labor contractions, right? So what about this place? Lord of Life Lutheran Church, which is so precious to us. Well, here we are on Christmas Eve this last year, celebrating the birth of the Savior of the world. How cool is that? It's so exciting. And the incredible energy that was shown on Pentecost. Look at that beautiful liturgical art and the music that flows out of this place. How awesome is that? And then look at this, Lord of Life's heritage here, the next slide, of partying to raise money for people in need. You know, we raised $28,000 at the Pig Roast this last year to help people who are in crises in their lives. You know, destructive crises in their lives through the pastor's discretionary fund. And more partying. Look at this. The dads of Lord of Life affirming moms in our families on Mother's Day. And then the blessing of the animals a few weeks ago. How cool is that? And not to mention the Hug-A-Bears group that meets upstairs all the time, making bears for scared little children facing medical treatment in hospitals, giving them something to hang on to that's been blessed by prayer. How cool is that? Or our youth. You know, our confirmation kids this week who learned a lot about serving by doing some service projects Wednesday night, and we've heard some incredible stories about what they experienced. And they're learning about that, what it means to serve. And they're this weekend at Luther Hill, as you heard in the prayers, and returning this afternoon, learning more about their relationship with Jesus Christ and being his disciples in our time and place. Wouldn't you say there's a lot of creative energy around here? Yeah, I would. For heaven's sakes, that's awesome. It's incredible. And even now, of course, we are reminded by Jesus in this gospel reading, all things are passing away. Yes, even this congregation, Lord of Life, will someday no longer exist. And even now, Lord of Life is not what it once was. This is a picture of Lord of Life when the first building was built on this property. And it served very well. It was a wonderful place and an incredible edge sanctuary. It was an incredible space. And a lot of you miss that because you have good memories of what happened in that holy space there, right? And then more things had to happen because there was a new time and a new occasion. Just as we continue to today to discern how best to use our buildings for welcoming one another and to welcome those who are not yet aware of the unconditional love of God and Jesus Christ for sinners. And by the way, make no mistake, you realize how important that witness is in our community? In a time when many Christian churches are preaching condemnation and judgment. And, you know, you can be saved when you get your act together, when you shape up. Lord have mercy. I'm going to hell in a handbasket if that's the case. Really, you know? I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God, period. And as important as that witness is in the Woodlands here and everywhere, you know what? This ministry is going to pass away too. One day, Lord of Life will have fulfilled its purpose in this community, and it will be time for it to give way to a new expression of church and new ways of communicating God's unconditional love. But remember what Jesus says? Don't be alarmed. This is all going to take place. That's the way it is. All the old things are breaking up. Because of all this, in the church as well as in the world, these are but the beginnings of the labor contractions, the birthing of something new. A new heavens and a new earth that God is going to bring about. And in the meantime, while we are here in our time and place, our job is to be open to the Holy Spirit. Open, not like this, but open about how we best use what God has given us for now, including this building, to do this ministry the best we can in this time and place, in His name, growing together in faith, centered in Christ, and serving God's world with love. Isn't that what we're about? I think that sounds pretty darn good.